It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Austin, how you doing, my friend? You doing all right? How was your weekend? You went and did a little go-kart racing this weekend, and you guys come out on top, didn't you? You weren't the driver, but your friend was the driver. You were a crew member this weekend, right?
Yeah, I got to switch the roles around. I got to be the guy behind the wrenches and
how'd that go?
Tell Chris what he's doing wrong. No, it actually went really well. We
you tell him what he's doing wrong?
No, we be honest with each other. That's all I ask for. Whenever I go and work with somebody or have somebody work with me, but No, we just we kind of lucked into it. We had a good car. Our pace really wasn't there, but we were able to kind of get a good start in our qualifying races and our dirt experience plus his pavement experience back in the day really helped to maneuver through some of the traffic and kind of set up the leader to get by him later in the race. The track's really hard to pass at. It's really narrow, and I mean, it has some passing opportunities, but very slim. And if it's presented to you, you got to take it. And we were able to kind of get some momentum built up, and it was
the win.
Yeah, the door was opened, and we went for it. And
you knocked him out of the way.
Yeah, you have to. It's just not.
It's go kart racing.
Yeah, it's not the way you run a race. But with it being so narrow and so backed up, I mean, and 12
bump
laps.
And run.
Yeah, 12 laps into the race, we went from having probably a straightaway between first and sixth to bumper to bumper, and yeah, you just kind of gotta, if you want it that bad, you gotta move them, and it's good redemption from our past two races.
Right. I want to welcome everybody that's watching the show. Some of our regulars there: Marie, Caleb, Paul's hanging out. Tammy, good to see you back. Frog Hall's there as well. One of the questions here by Marie, and she's like the queen bee around here. So let's talk about your graduation.
Yeah.
How was that yesterday? You told me a little bit. Yeah. I got to say this,
go
folks.
For it.
Can I say it?
100% honest.
This is what I love about Austin. This is why Austin fits in so well around here, because, he told me that it was the most boring 2.5 hours of his life.
Nah, I'll say my day.
Of the day, your life.
It wasn't. I've had worse situations, but no, I'll just say my day.
Did it feel like a waste of 2.5 hours?
Yeah, I mean, you spend however many years I did in the school system. 12 years of school. I mean, it's good that you work to the chance of walking across the stage to get your diploma, which was really cool, and I'm glad that I was able to accomplish that. But I'll be honest with you, I was sitting on my phone 90% of the time watching MyLaps, which is a transponder company that was hooked up to the kart race out in Garnett. So
you were paying attention to what was going on out there.
I was more in tune to trying to see how Chris would be doing. But no, I mean, it was cool to see us go through that. And
Austin said here, how was the after party? You didn't have an after party, did you?
I am not a partier. I'm underage anyway, so listen, I can't even do that.
He's 18 years old, Austin, and he's let me just tell you a little secret about Austin O'Neill. All he thinks about is racing.
Yes,
he doesn't think he's a blessing to this show right here, because that's all he thinks about is motorsports. He doesn't think about anything else. He doesn't watch TV. He's just about motorsports, and that's all you can think about, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we actually...
Why are you so ate up with it so bad? Is it because you're just young guy?
I guess.
Maybe.
It's just what I want to do in life, I guess. Yep. But no, we went out and had margaritas for dinner. The Mexican place, not the drink.
You didn't have a margarita?
No, not at all. And I went home after that with our family.
Hold on. Let me ask, have you ever drank alcohol?
No.
Never?
I'm not even lying. Never.
Never once in your life have you drank
Nope.
My gosh, how many listen, for the listeners out there, how many of you drank alcohol before you were 18 years old? I'm one of them. I'm not going to lie to you. But he's such a good guy, man, and we're so blessed to have him here. But I don't know. Hey, listen, we need to talk a little bit about, we got something going on. Austin and I are talking about streaming live on TikTok.
Which, yes.
Which, Caleb said, I had alcohol when I was 16. Well, me too, bud. So we're thinking about streaming on TikTok. But here's the problem with this. And we need the help of the listeners out there. We're going to remind you a couple times during the show today. What we need you to do is go to the Racing Boys TikTok account, because we haven't been using it, right? We just put up some videos there today. You have to have 1,000 followers in order to stream live on TikTok. And so what we need to do today is we need all of our listeners to go over to TikTok and like the Racing Boys account, so we can start streaming on TikTok, because we think we can really grow through the TikTok platform, right? I mean, there's a lot of people on there.
A lot of people.
It seems like when I get on TikTok sometimes, I'll get on there and I'll start watching videos. And the next thing you know, I'll look down at the clock and I've been on there for an hour. Do you ever do that?
I'll be honest, that's like when I go to bed at 9, I'll have to sit on my phone for probably 30 minutes watching TikTok before I'll actually put my phone down and go to bed. But no, it's anytime I get a break in the day, or if I'm in the shop, take a break, or at the racetrack, it's on TikTok. But I mean, it's very addicting, but you see a lot of things on there.
A lot of weirdos on there, bud.
It's really
strange.
Best way to pass your time.
Hey, I just want to shout out to Caleb Harvey here real quick. He said, that's why partially while I got sober at 28. Good for you, bud. I'm happy for you. You know, anybody that can quit drinking and just put it aside and not have an alcoholic beverage when they're hanging out with their friends, good for you, bud. I'm happy for you. That makes me really happy that somebody can do that. Because to be honest with you, I've lost quite a few friends to alcohol over the years, and it's not fun to watch somebody when they're really addicted to alcohol. So good for you, Caleb. We're happy for you, buddy. What do we need to do here? We need people to go over to TikTok and just like our account, right? So we can get that up to 1,000.
Just give us a follow on, it's at Racing Boys. I'll pull it up here real quick. And we already got a couple of videos up from our highlight clips this past week, but it might seem we got no content now, but just as we go through our shows this week and in the future, we'll have plenty of teasers to put up there.
Hey, can you play that video right there?
Will Which it come one?
The one with the little kid. I give this little kid some NASCAR tickets one time, and he was so happy he started crying. He wanted to go to that NASCAR race in the worst way, and our good friends over at McCarthy Auto Group, they used to give us about 25 pairs of tickets every year for the race when they were a sponsor of our show. And I had an extra pair of tickets, and I give them to Tristan. And she gave them to this family, and that made that little boy so happy he was crying over it. So that was one of my favorite all-time videos that I've put up there. So anyway, go over there to TikTok. I know not everybody does TikTok, right? Marie, I never do TikTok. But can't you go over there and just give us a like there, Marie? Just do us a favor. Just go over there and give us a little bit of a like. That way we can get that up to 1,000. And that way we can start streaming over there. I think that would do us a lot of good here on Mostly Motorsports. So if you're watching the show right now, please do us a favor. Go over there and give us a like on TikTok. And I'll just be self-serving here a little bit. If you would, go to my Twitter account, Racing Boys Scott T, Racing Boys Scott T, and give me a like. I'm just about to 700. That's not many, right? I think we've got over nearly 23,000 people on Racing Boys on Twitter.
You got more than me.
Yeah, we're up there pretty good on Racing Boys on Twitter. But if you could go to my personal account and give me a like and get me over 700, because I've been waiting. I think I'm at 695 right now. I'd like to be able to get over 700 eventually, if I could. So if you could, go to Racing Boys Scott T and give us a listen. So what'd you think of that All-Star race last night? Was Ryan Blaney, did he have a right to be pissed off coming down for the checker flag?
I didn't watch it. I was more in tune to Terre Haute and Angel Park. But I did get to see some highlights of it.
Yeah.
I mean, when in NASCAR has anybody ever thrown the white on the white flag lap or on the last lap? Or actually thrown the yellow on the last lap?
See, I always thought I got the white flag was out,
and the yellow
was, yeah.
And next flag's in the race. Why?
Right.
I don't know. It's typical NASCAR, make the rules up as you go. But yeah, he had every right
to be
mad.
No, that's been the rule for a while.
No, I mean, they didn't follow the rule.
Oh, yeah, because they'd already thrown the white flag.
They threw the white, and then...
They should have thrown the checker.
They should have, but right. I don't know. I guess NASCAR is really desperate to get some attention on there, I guess. I don't know, but if I was Blaney and I didn't win the race, I would have every right to be pretty frustrated with NASCAR officials.
Yeah, I'd be pretty ticked off myself. But you know what? He ended up winning the race, so it all turned out the fastest car won the race, right?
I think the fastest car was Kyle Busch, from what I've heard. That was a heck of a wreck between him and Ross Chastain.
Kirk, I don't know if you heard, but did Larson blow a right front tire? Is that what he did? Yeah, he blew a right front tire. He pounded the wall pretty hard, too, when he hit it.
He killed that car.
Yeah, that car was junk.
Busch had a tire go down, too.
And so here we go again. Tire issues with these Cup cars.
Wonder why.
They got to do something, man. They're going to get somebody hurt if they don't hurry up and get it fixed, right?
Yeah, I mean,
don't you think?
We're very lucky that, you know, the next-gen car has been really engineered to be really safe and you know, able to withstand hard hits, and you park a car, you know, half the speed on the front stretch and get hit by a car at, you know, full speed, and to come out, you know, with no injuries and a car that doesn't look too bad is remarkable. But, I mean, yeah, you got to do something. You can't put yourself in a position like that.
Let me ask you this, Austin. What would happen if Kyle Larson got seriously injured yesterday with that right front blowing out? Because, man, I mean, he pounded the wall pretty hard. Right. It junked that car out, right? What would that do to motorsports if a person like Kyle Larson got hurt? You think about all the dirt track races that he's going to, all the Cup races that he's running. That would be a major blow to our sport if somebody like Kyle Larson was to get hurt because of a tire blowing out, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that can be controlled and prevented, then yes, it would have a really negative impact, and we hope we are never in a position like that in the future.
Right.
But, you know, if that ever happens, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's kind of, you know, the guy we stand behind that represents dirt racing, and he's kind of brought the life back to NASCAR and dirt racing, but... I mean, that's our guy, you know.
Is it fair to say that Kyle Larson, and I'm going to ask everybody this question, and you can chime in on the message board. Is it fair to say that Kyle Larson is the face of motorsports right now? Would it be fair to say that?
I think of at least American motorsports, he would be.
Yeah. I know it's not Formula One, but I mean, in America, though.
I wouldn't say motorsports overall, because then you got to add in V8 supercars, IMSA, or what, IndyCar's American, but, you know, other motorsports across the seas, and he's not that big of a character.
So you're a Formula One guy. Let me ask you, who do you think is the most popular driver in the world? The world, not America, but in the world, because you're a Formula One guy and you watch a lot of IMSA stuff. But I can't think of anybody that's more popular than Kyle Larson myself.
That's a difficult, you know, kind of question to narrow down to. I mean, you don't have...
Who's the most popular driver in Formula One?
I would say probably, you know, Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen. But, you know, you don't, those fans that are so, you know, wrapped up in Formula One, they don't venture out to American sports or, you know, what we got going on over here with sprint car racing or NASCAR or stuff like that. They're locked into Formula One in Europe. So, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, they would be also a big Kyle Larson fan. I mean, it's just in different aspects of racing, he is number one, and then, you know, he's, like I said, in Europe, he's not even, you know,
right,
relevant to them.
Yeah. Do you think Kyle Larson could do it if he went over there and drove a Formula One car? Do you think he's got the talent to do it?
I definitely think so. Yeah. You just got to have, have the equipment. You know, it's, you can be the best driver in the world and your equipment be off. And I mean, that's, it's the most engineered car in racing. And, you know, right. It's just, it, you can't be, some drivers can, but, you know, engineering always wins.
Right. So I'm just going to say it. I think Kyle Larson's the face of motorsports, and I'll say it worldwide. So I'll just say it because of what his accomplishments are on dirt tracks and on pavement tracks. I don't know of anybody that could be any better at doing with it. To be honest with you, I bet you if you took one of those Formula One drivers and put them in a sprint car, they wouldn't hit their ass.
You know, funny you say that. You know, Gene Haas is partners with Tony Stewart in the Cup Series. Well, he also owns an F1 team, and he brought his two, I think it was last year's drivers, Kevin Magnussen and Romain Grosjean, to Tony's sprint car team, and they went and did a test at, I think it was Cherokee.
Yeah. Did they look all right?
They didn't look too bad. They definitely thought it was something, you know, crazy and out of this world. But no, they didn't do too bad.
Did they have video of that?
I'll have to try and find it later.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on and talk about some other stuff. How about Robert Berlew picking up his third Tony Hillman Classic, man? How about that, man? He's only one of four drivers to be able to, that's ever done that. How about that?
Yeah, so I got back to the shop last night after our dinner, and I started watching the heat races on Flow Racing, and he had, you know, really good speed in his heat race, and then he cut that tire down about halfway through, maybe about three or so laps to go, and I'm like, man, I hope Robert can just get back to a transfer spot and lock in. And he drove by two cars on the first lap and then two more on the last lap or so. And he got up to, I think, fourth or fifth. I know he at least transferred. And I'm like, all right, he has some, you know, pretty good speed. And I hopefully can get a good starting spot and, you know, try and pick one off. And then I wasn't surprised to see later on in the night that he actually did it. And it just shows that, you know, he's on his game right now. And I mean, it's hard to beat, you know, Robert Berlew on tracks that are just the madman track and just, right, you know, hanging out the side and just, you know, let her rip.
Brady made it a little bit interesting right there at the end, though, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, Brady also kind of had, you know, you got two drivers that don't want to lose. You know, Brady had an unfortunate tire failure, you know, Friday night where it actually kind of killed his car. I mean, he described it that it broke the rear arms off the car and it let the rear end come back and it wiped out the tail tank and the rear torsion tube. So that's pretty much a whole car you lost right there. And, you know, he's definitely looking for some redemption to kind of back up his woes on Friday night. But,
he had a right rear flat on Thursday night, too, didn't he?
I'm not sure. But that was, I mean, that's the two best non-sprint car drivers in the country right now going at it.
Well, it was good to see Robert Berlew pick up the victory. Again, one of only four drivers that have won the Tony Hillman Classic three times. And tomorrow, Robert Berlew will join us on the show. So we've got him scheduled for tomorrow. That's going to be pretty good stuff. How about last night? Did you watch Cheez-Its last night a little bit?
I watched the feature, when I walked out to see the feature and saw who was throwing the pole, I couldn't believe it.
It was Blake.
I'm like, I knew you were going to be up there. I didn't know that, you know, they would have fired off. And I mean, Blake can drive anything he gets in. And,
he's a hell of a driver.
But man,
right?
it's tough competition up there to see them, you know, with limited 410 starts, fire off and put it on the pole and lead almost three quarters of the race to kind of lose it in that traffic was really cool to see. And I know I talked to Blake earlier. He said he learned quite a bit about his car and his and him as a driver. And they definitely have a lot of confidence going into this weekend and, you know, future 410 races.
Well, listen, when you think about Giovanni Selzy and Austin McCarl, those guys got a lot of laps up there at that racetrack. And
they do.
And to be fair, I think that was the first 410 race of the year for Blake Hunt.
It was.
Yeah. So to start on the pole and end up getting a podium finish, you got to praise what he did last night because he's not a 410 driver. He's the Lucas Oil ASCS 360 national champion, right? And he's got a couple 410s. He wants to run 410s a little bit more this year. But that was I was really impressed. You think about all the people that were up there that were running at that racetrack: Justin Henderson, Carson McCarl,
Dusty Zomer,
Matt Jewell, Mark Dohmeyer, Jack Dover was up there last night. There was a lot of good cars up there last night, and he got a podium finish. He's got to be happy with that.
Oh,
Ayrton
sure.
Jennington was up there last night too. He ended up running 14th.
Yeah, not the best night for Ayrton. He had a good night at Knoxville the night before running fifth. And first time he made the scales up there, you know, this year. So it definitely kind of brought some confidence back into the team. And, you know, hopefully Ayrton can kind of, you know, get this confidence rolling. And him and Chad Morgan can, you know, kind of get their season going. And we're kind of used to seeing Ayrton have, you know, a couple wins by now. But I think they're right around the corner.
Oh, he's going to get his.
Right.
I'm going to say this. I think that Ayrton will either get an all-star or come very close to picking up a World of Outlaw win this year. I'm not sure that he's going to get a World of Outlaw win, but I think he can win with the all-stars.
Oh, for sure.
No doubt, right? It's so tough over there with the World of Outlaws. I'm just not sure that he can do that this year. But does he have the talent? Absolutely has the talent to get it done, I believe. Anyway, what do you think?
Oh, I think so for sure. And you got a good crew chief with Chad behind you. And Chad's, you know, doesn't skip out on any experience on the road with Brown. So, I mean, he has the equipment, has the talent, and has the experience behind him. So it's just a matter of, you know, everything falling right. And, you know, hopefully it's here soon.
Did you watch Hunter Schoenberg win?
I did. I watched the highlights this morning of it. And, man, Hunter, he right place, right time for him. I mean, first off, I can't believe Cap Henry actually finished the race. I think it was on a restart with a handful of laps into the race, and he kind of caught the cushion wrong off of two, and it biked up on him, and he did everything but flip it. And then he did that about 10 or so laps later, and somehow he still came off with no damage to his car, maybe a scuffed up right rear wheel cover. But no, it's just, that was Angel Park. I don't see a whole lot of wing racing there. I think it was probably one of the first times I've seen a wing race, and it definitely didn't disappoint.
Lance Deweese, Tammy was telling me Lance Deweese won his record 104th win at Williams Grove on Friday night. How about that, man?
You
went over 100 races at any one racetrack?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You're an ass kicker.
Yeah, I saw Lance win. I didn't know that was 104 for him, but, I mean, he's just, you know, one of the greatest sprint car drivers of all time, in my opinion.
Jack Wagner won down there at Double X, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. What'd you think about Reitzel's win up there at Knoxville in the 410? Did you get to watch any of that?
Yeah, I watched the highlights to it, and, you know, Aaron just, I mean, Knoxville was, it kind of, from the week before, kind of just, I don't say disappointed, because, you know, not a race in Knoxville is ever disappointing, but it didn't have the hype that it did the week before with him, Brown, and McCarl kind of going at it, and actually it was Linton Jeffrey.
There was a lot of outlaw guys up there the week before.
Yes, and no, he just, you know, he kind of got hooked up on the bottom there and just, you know, hit his marks and kept his nose clean, and he was in, you know, clean air most of the race, and, you know, Brown really couldn't get to him, and it's just, he kind of just kind of classed the field that night.
Yeah. We probably ought to take a break and get our first guest on today, man. We got a really good show lined up for you. Barry Braun's going to join us here just in a minute. I don't know if you're familiar with Race XR, but they do a lot of great broadcasts. Barry Braun has been in this business for a long, long time, folks. Probably nearly as long as the Racing Boys, maybe even longer. I don't know, but he's been doing a good job at it. He is going to be the promoter out at North Wilkesboro. We're going to talk about that. And his relationship with SMI, that'll be coming up here in just a minute. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to have Lee Spencer. We'll talk about the All-Star race last night and some sprint car racing as well with her. You're watching Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with Barry Braun from Racer XR.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas fuel treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show, everybody. And we want to bring in a guy that's been in the streaming business maybe as long as anybody. Barry Braun joins us now on the show from RaceXR. Barry, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing pretty good. Man, you've got so much going on in your life right now. It's just amazing everything that you've been able to accomplish over the last few years. I know you've been doing this forever, right? And we know your history about in this industry. But, man, the last few years have been really good to you, haven't they?
They have. I think, you know, as you said, it's not overnight. It's a culmination of a lot of things have come together in the last couple of years. And then kind of the ebb and flow of how the industry has gone and grown and maybe outgrown at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we just made some adjustments as a company throughout the last couple of years and kind of changed how we were going to do business, which then led to a number of opportunities to promote some events. And it's kind of turned us into a bit of a hybrid company now, it's more leaning towards the event side than anything. Yeah. And, I mean, it's fantastic, the opportunities that we're given.
We're visiting with Barry Braun here on Mostly Motorsports. You know, it really all started with your relationship with SMI. And tell us how that all came together, Barry.
So back in 2010, we broadcast at the Duel in the Desert, an IMCA event at that time. Back when, I guess I would call this the dark ages, back when things were really getting going. And, you know, Scott, you know this, when we were back trying to broadcast from the middle of nowhere with wild connections and yeah. cell phones and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we really built that relationship throughout the years with Las Vegas. And it came to a point where actually, you know, we started to lose money. Mm. And the event was suffering a bit. And we also had the reality that venture-backed companies were coming into the industry. And so two things, you know, about 2019, we're at a crossroads and wondering, is this even going to be worth it anymore? And if it is, how do we approach it? You know, do we continue to lose money, or do we, you know, let this go to one of these bigger companies, or do we take the bull by the horns and approach them and ask to be the promoter? And we did.
Yeah.
And over the course of the last couple of years, first we got hit, you know, hard with COVID and ran a monster event in 2020 with a large car comp, but no fans.
Right.
And then we started to transition over to a late model event this last year in 2021. And which it's kind of snowballed from there. You know, the initial Duel in the Desert, then we were offered Bristol for the Bristol Dirt Nationals, then we were offered Texas, then we were offered Charlotte. And we've continued to build, you know, a vast portfolio of events, which now has led us to the North Wilkesboro Speedway.
Yeah. When people started talking about putting dirt on Bristol, what was the first, what was the feedback that you got originally when you thought about doing that?
I'm going to give credit to Speedway Motorsports. They and NASCAR were looking at ways to diversify the schedule, and that's all on them. We're kind of a complement to Speedway Motorsports. We work with them hand in hand to, you know, help better their product. I guess we're kind of a guinea pig at points.
Yeah.
To, you know, try and assist them in ways to make sure that their NASCAR events, you know, go off as well as possible. Mm-hmm. And it's a fantastic relationship because while, you know, I say guinea pig, I don't say that in a derogatory manner whatsoever.
Yeah.
We are offered opportunities that not many would ever see, because we're willing to be team players.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's goofy, but it happened 20 years ago. And
so crazy.
It went off kind of okay back 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think as we've seen over the past couple of years, it's actually starting. I mean, it's been solid. I mean, there's been improvement, especially on the NASCAR side.
Yeah.
The race has improved from last year to this year, making a couple minor changes. You know, running it at night. And I expect, you know, that there'll be improvement into the next year, into year three for the Bristol NASCAR race. And, you know, hopefully the racing improves and then, you know, they continue to drive more people into the grandstands and TV ratings go up. And it's all kind of a full circle for all of us. If the better they do, the better we do.
Well, I want to get into North Wilkesboro here in a minute, but I want to take a little step back in time a little bit from when you got into the streaming business. And, you know, we did it for a lot of years ourselves. It's so much different now than it was back in the day, right? I remember when we were just doing audio broadcast and you're traveling around the country and, you know, you could barely get enough up speed to run your audio broadcast. But now with the internet the way it is and a lot better around the country, you're able to do live video. Just talk about in the beginning years when you first started in this business and to where we're at right now, you know, with Derp Vision and Flo and yourself and everybody in this industry, you know, we've got out of the streaming business because we felt like it was the right time to get out. We sold the rights to the Chili Bowl to Flo, obviously, and we got out of the business because, for me personally, I think it's kind of a tough industry for little companies like Racing Boys.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what you saw back in the early 2010s was, you know, the birth of the market as technology improved. Of course, more people start broadcasting. Many companies kind of saw stars in their eyes and thought that there was a ton of money out there to be made. There's not. It has a ceiling. We're past that at this point. We're on the other side. I fully believe the market will now capsize within the next year, and that's just being brutally honest. There's too much racing going on the weekends. It's too cheap, and it doesn't give race fans any incentive to go to racetracks. Yeah. As we continue to grow as a promotions company, we'll continue to evolve, and we're going to change our process and how we approach live streaming also.
Yeah.
And it's not something that it's not in a good place. It's something that will definitely need to evolve over the next year or two. And as you know, Scott, like you said, you had sold those rights, and that was probably the right move for you guys. The right move for us was to transition to the promoter role,
right,
and protect our assets at that point. You're going to see a number of companies go that route over the next couple years. But I think more so than anything, the fans are spoiled at this point. Enjoy it for what it is at the moment. I don't think it will be the same in the next couple years.
How much do you think all these live streaming platforms and the people that are doing it, how much do you think that's hurting motorsports right now?
It's at a crossroads right now. Yeah. I don't think it's hurting it in a way, but on the flip side, I also think it's a convenient excuse for promoters that don't want to put in the work. So
that's true.
I think there needs to be a balance, and both sides need to understand what they need to do to improve their product. But I also think the streamers on their side too, what can we do to help the promoters get people in the grandstand?
Yeah, no doubt.
And, but promoters also need to understand that they have to put out a product that is viable and enjoyable for the
viewer
that spend money with them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's talk about the big topic, North Wilkesboro coming back to life. I know you're going to be the promoter of that. There's going to be some pavement races, then there's going to be some dirt races. Take us through this a little bit, would you, Barry?
Yeah, so last year, in March, during the Bristol NASCAR weekend, my wife and I stopped by North Wilkesboro. Much like anybody else, we broke in, and we walked the track. And I say that again. I'm kind of making fun of myself.
No, I know that. Yeah,
they knew we were going to stop, and at all times with Speedway Motorsports, we're talking about different ideas and concepts, and they thought I was a little bit unhinged talking about Wilkesboro. And I'm like, no, I want to go take a look at it. I want to do a site survey and see if it's viable. At that time we did that. We walked about 10 feet and I turned to my wife and I said, you know what needs to happen here, right? And she's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking. You want to run this track. And I'm like, yeah, just look at it. And, again, it goes back, Scott, to having opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, we had just come off of Bristol Dirt Nationals year one, which was wildly successful. And at that point, it's, well, what do you do next? And it's not a money thing. It's like, what do you do next with these opportunities? And that's where, you know, I was very confident. I still am very confident. In fact, even more so now getting to know the folks of the area and the racers and all that it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
To give you the Cliff Notes version, it turned into a process where we met with Marcus Smith. We chatted with him about it. He went on the Dale Jr. download, and then everything kind of domino effect from there. which actually turned into state funding and a number of other things. That was just kind of a convenient, nice, you know, scenario, I guess, that they ended up getting $18 million in funding to not only improve the place, but to, you know, bring it back. And that wasn't my idea. I mean, my idea was to bring it back for a special event, much like a Bristol Dirt Nationals, and run it as a dirt track.
Mm-hmm.
And this was all a byproduct of this conversation and the hype and things that built around it, because at the end of the day, and I think even as of last night, you could see it, North Wilkesboro was trending on Twitter last night for no other reason than the fact that people are very excited about it and they want to bring the All-Star race there now.
Right.
Again, very convenient byproduct of what we're doing. I've always said it's, you know, we are a conduit to help make this happen. And what happens after we do this year is completely up to them, but I will support them 100%. And this is awesome for racing. It's awesome as race fans. 25 years later, when we were all let down, when North Wilkesboro was shut down, now to see it come back is, it's tremendous.
What is the total budget for the renovation for North Wilkesboro? What do you think it's going to take in the end? You mentioned $18 million, but is that enough?
What they have earmarked, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, $18 million is probably going to be a start. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Some of the revenue that's made this year will go right back into the facility. And I think that, I think, Scott, the biggest thing is that they realize where it's at and what the facility can be realistically now. I know the romantic idea is to get NASCAR back there and a number of other things, but there's so many challenges with that facility. And from a facility standpoint, it's wonderful. But from an infrastructure standpoint, it might not be achievable in 2023 or 24 or in the future. It's just not. It was in 1996 when it was closed down. I mean, it had those challenges then.
Mm-hmm.
How would that changed in 25 years when nothing's been changed with, you know, the roads around there and a number of other things? So the reality of it is, I don't know if necessarily it will ever be as big as people want it to be.
Right.
But at the end of the day, as race fans, it's going to be operational. And really, that's all that matters.
That's the key part, bringing it back to life, at least at the level to where you can have some races up there. That's the good thing about it. Let's just talk a little bit about the pavement racing. Now, you guys are going to have some pavement racing before you tear the asphalt up. Is that correct?
Yeah. So obviously not in our wheelhouse, but something that when we were discussing this project, it just came to, you know, what's the right thing to do? And pavement is obviously has a huge history at North Wilkesboro. It was a dirt track for about 11, 12 years before they paved it. But the pavement side is what's well known, the NASCAR side, and also the modifieds, the touring modifieds were a big staple at North Wilkesboro. So when this came to discussion, when it came with how do we do this the right way, I simply asked Steve Swift at Speedway Motorsports, what's the pavement like? And he's like, what do you mean? Can we race on it? And he's like, by golly, I think we can.
Right.
And I'm like, then that's what we need to do. It certainly isn't in my wheelhouse. It certainly is not something to have a you know, vast experience with. But if that means that we have to do that to do the right thing by the fans, that means that we run pavement for a month.
Right.
Then we tear it up and run dirt. So the beauty of it is it's the best of both worlds. And we get to celebrate the track in a manner that celebrates not only its pavement history, but its dirt history, which 66 years ago was the last dirt track race at North Wilkesboro.
Mm-hmm.
And as it stands, as of today, this month will be
All right. Well, we'll wait for Barry to get back there. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if we dropped or if we lost him there or what happened. So, we did lose him. All right. So, anyway, what'd you think about all that right there? That's pretty interesting stuff going on right there. There's Barry calling us back. So, all right. All right, let's get back to Barry. Barry, I'm sorry about that. Don't know what happened right there.
No, I hit the wrong button on you.
That's okay, so, bud.
Just getting back to 66 years later, we're going to race on dirt at North Wilkesboro.
Crazy.
And folks don't realize 12 years as a dirt track, yes, it's a 5-ace. It doesn't race like a 5-ace.
Right.
It's a very quirky and interesting track. But for the first time in 66 years, and technically probably the last time ever, we're going to race on dirt in October of 2022.
Yeah. What are you going to do series-wise? Are you just going to do your own thing and just promote it yourself as you have at Bristol? Is that what the plans are?
So, yes and no. We've actually reached out to a number of sanction bodies, especially on pavement side. Again, we don't have, that's not our, you know, our vast experiences in dirt. Pavement, we have signed on with a number of sanctioning bodies, including the Cars Tour, CRA, the Smart Modifieds, a number of folks on that side. In the dirt, we're actually doing much of the same thing, but we're also negotiating with different sanctioning bodies. It's still not done. We know we're going to do the events. We know what the payouts are going to be, but we're still not done. And Scott, the important part of why we're doing that is because it's such an overwhelming amount of racing that it's best for us to work with the various different sanctioning bodies. It's not the easiest thing to do, but it's the right thing to do to make sure that we put on the best show possible. So we're very close. There's a number of sanctioning bodies yet to be announced, but I continue to have those conversations, but we run into roadblocks and Scott, you know, a lot of those, a lot of it is with streaming. Yeah. A lot of it is with egos. A lot of it is with a number of things and we've made a lot of good progress, but we have a short timeline. We had to hold off everything until we announced. I could not discuss this with anybody until it was announced.
Right.
So within about a month's time frame, we've slammed in all of this organization and discussions, and we're close to the tail end of that. And I'll say this, I'll do some things that even surprise people in the industry, thinking that this would never happen. Well, there's things, hell's going to freeze over. There's going to be some things that you didn't think were common, and it's going to be cool because, and I can't say this enough, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for North Wilkesboro, for the fans, for the industry, for everybody. I'm not proud enough to the point where I'm not willing to include other people that should be included.
Right. If people want to buy tickets, they can do that at www.northwilkesborospeedway.com, correct? Is that where they can get some tickets?
Yep. You can go and get general admission tickets. Reserve tickets are going to go on sale soon. Top four rows, the grandstand. Very soon, you're going to have suite tickets go on sale. A number of other amenities and upgrades will be added over the next month. And, we'll go from there. We had a open house last Wednesday at the facility. It went way better than expected.
Great.
The energy is unbelievable. As a promoter, yes, we're here to do business. We're here. We're supposed to make money. Any business is supposed to try to do that. But the race fan in me, the side where this is the right thing to do has become paramount because you can't help but feed off the energy of the people that want to be a part of this. And it's just awesome.
Yeah. Well, Barry, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. If you ever need anything in the future, you want to get the word out, we're here Monday through Friday, 12 noon every day. So all you need to do is reach out to us. If you need to get the word out, we're here for you if you need us. We appreciate you taking the time to join us here, and we're looking forward to North Wilkesboro and everything else that you're doing down the road. Again, we appreciate you taking the time, Barry.
All right, Scott. And again, I want to say thank you for what you've done for this industry, not only on the radio side, but the streaming side and the Chili Bowl. I don't think that that gets enough. People don't pay attention enough to the things that you've done and other people have done in this industry to get to this point and the media that is available now. And there's a lot of appreciation on our side, even as competitors, as we move forward, that we have gotten it to this point. And I think that race fans right now are spoiled. They need to appreciate that.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And more so than anything, go and support these events.
We need to all row the boat together, right, Barry? We need to just row this boat together, correct? Yeah.
That is correct, and you couldn't say it any better. So, again, get out there, get to NorthWilkesboroSpeedway.com, go to your local racetrack on Friday, Saturday nights, make sure that you're supporting the industry that you love, and let's try and, you know, get through the tough financial times and COVID and a number of other things and, you know, enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, well said, Barry. We appreciate you. We'll be talking to you down the road. Can't wait to talk to you again when we get a little bit closer to North Wilkesboro. Thanks so much for taking the time on the show. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There you have it. Barry Braun. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Lee Spencer joins us next.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
CigarPort.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And joining us now on the show is Racing Boys' own Lee Spencer. Lee, how you doing?
I'm moving and grooving. How about you, boys?
Oh, you know, we just had Barry Braun on from RaceXR talking about North Wilkesboro. You know, they were talking about their initial budget was $18 million, but in that interview, he said that he didn't know if that was going to be enough money. What do you think?
Wow. I know that they got a nice grant from the state of North Carolina, but, it's like we were talking about Saturday. I think that they ought to just leave it a dirt track. I think a dirt track would do exceptionally well up there. But,
yeah.
The problem is it's you have, I would say, two sizable population centers within an hour of the place. But
yeah.
On the other side of that, what we've seen in racing of late, you just really have to be around population. Because it's not one of those, if you build it, it will come. And I'm sure there's going to be some people that say, hey, let's go up there. Let's go check it out. It's been a while. But, we had hoped for the same thing for Rockingham, and that never happened.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's exciting just to know that they're going to bring the old girl back to life, though, isn't it? I mean, that's all we need.
Oh, great.
Right, yeah.
Think about all the kids, you've had two generations of race fans come along
right.
And never got to see it, right? So it's a whole new, it's a whole new day and age. I mean, you think about North Wilkesboro, you think about Rockingham, you think about Hickory. I mean, Hickory still has a weekly racing series, but it's not, it's not like it was when they had the Xfinity series
right.
running there, which was the Busch series, but... I think that Kevin Harvick, probably said it best when he's at Martinsville. I got to pull up that audio because he basically said that you could take the All-Star race and move it from place to place to place and bring some of these places back to life and put them back on the map and, kind of kindle the luster that once was with these racetracks. I don't know if you saw Flea's tweet about going to Bowman Gray. He had never been to Bowman Gray before, and he said that it was everything he expected and more. And, there are certain places, iconic places like that, that just pack the house week in, week out. And, there's a recipe for success. And some of these places, they're just, either they have forgot, what put them on the map in the first place, or they're not willing to put in the time
yeah.
and effort to make it happen.
Yeah. Lee, if there was another old racetrack just sitting around rotting away that they might consider bringing back to life, which one would be the first track besides North Wilkesboro that they would bring back to life?
Everybody says Rockingham too, right? But
the
thing of it is, you were at I-70. you were there, what, a week ago?
Yep, I sure was.
So what's the difference between its first big hurrah and when you were there, and what were the crowds like?
Well, I was there. I was lucky enough to be there on opening day in 1969 with my dad. And it was a pretty big deal back in those days, because if you knew anything about the people that owned that racetrack, their thought was they were going to get a NASCAR race at I-70 Speedway. That's what their intentions was. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to get a NASCAR race at I-70 Speedway, and it just never happened, right? They had a lot of great races over there over the year. But, you know, I've said this many times on this show, that they could have saved millions and millions of dollars. You know, so many sprint car drivers told the owner of that racetrack, you got to tear this place down. It's too fast. And what did they do? They built a track that's real fast, and they could have saved millions of dollars by just putting dirt on it and renovating the venue itself. But they decided to rip it all down and replace it all. And in my eyes, the track is still so fast that they could have just stayed with the old racetrack.
Well, look at it from this perspective, right? NASCAR for years, and I mean, I would say last two decades, desperately wanted a presence in the Northwest. Mm-hmm. And they kind of let IndyCar go into Portland and check out the market, you know, stick their toe in the water. Now we're going there with Xfinity, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at Pikes Peak. I mean, Denver is a huge growing market.
Sure.
I mean, I know that you spend enough time going back and forth through Colorado. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And if you have any friends who have moved to the Denver metropolis, from what I understand, which now probably goes 90 minutes in any direction, and the price of housing is you know, ridiculous. You know, it would Pikes Peak would definitely be a hit if you, you know, got that up to snuff. But I am keenly aware of what they've put into Gateway to try to make it deserving of a cup race, and to get it ready for a cup race.
How much did they spend at Gateway to get the Cup Series back there?
I will ask that question the next time I go there, because
all right.
My guess is probably not enough.
Right.
They'll probably be mad at me for saying that, right? But
yeah.
I think that you're, you know, in addition to, Reed sent me a note and said it's $40 million, but in addition to the money that they've put into it and the parking, you know, and I pray that it starts. You know, we had the rain that we're getting here in North Carolina today, which unfortunately has rained out the activities for the Extreme Outlaw Series at Millbridge tonight.
We heard that.
You know, we had that in St. Louis, and I don't know if it came your way through Kansas City, but we had torrential downpours, and it was raining on Saturday, and I went by the track, and there were places you know, where there's parking that would not, you know, if that area got flooded, they'll be in trouble. And so I'm praying that, you know, the Midwest dries out over the next 10 days, so it's not an issue when the fans show up. But when you think about the money that they've had to invest in Gateway just to get it ready, and then you think about the surrounding areas, and, you know, first impressions mean a lot, and depending upon which way you come from the airport, there's still a lot of cleaning up, not the grounds itself, but, you know, around the area that it has been an eyesore for years. And so it's, you know, I just hope that there's a little more housekeeping that occurs between now and when company shows up a week from Friday.
All right. Well, let's step away from that and talk a little bit about what happened with the All-Star race. Did NASCAR make me and Austin talked about this in the open. We've always believed that once they throw the white flag, the next flag, the race is over. What happened last night?
They had different rules for the All-Star race, where the event had to end under green. And so even though Blaney was two car lengths away from the finish line, when Stenhouse tagged the wall, and even though Stenhouse kept going, they threw a yellow. So when they threw the yellow, we had to rack them back up. You know, there have been questions as to, did you want a more exciting, you know, finish than Blaney finishing ahead of the field, or, you know, what the situation was. But I will play devil's advocate here, and I will say that given the lack of inventory with the new car, the last thing you needed to do was wad up a bunch of pocket bodies and chassis, right?
Right.
I would use the for F's sake, because I couldn't believe what I was watching, and not, you know, it just, I'm ready, you know, just please stop the bleeding now.
Yeah, because they tore up a lot of stuff last night.
Well, and if you, you know, you're trying to do another restart and have it go green so you can have a green flag finish, and
yeah.
I'm just, you know.
You're asking for it right there, right?
You're absolutely asking for it. And, you know, Blaney's a $1 million richer today, but I think that was even more impressive to him was to get the six shooters, which he had. He said that the first time that he saw those at Texas Motor Speedway, he wanted a pair. And so now he has a pair, and he'll probably, you know, he wants to be a cowboy and it can be one for Halloween or, you know, in the privacy of his own home, right?
So, right. Yeah. He was really lucky that NASCAR didn't require him to come down to pit road to fix his window net, too. Because the way that Ryan talked about it, he kind of jimmied it up there. It really wasn't in real working condition, but he was able to get it to work just enough to finish the race. Was he lucky there that NASCAR didn't pull him in?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think it was a make good call. I mean, how many times have you watched a game and you know, let's just say balls and strike, right? And the ump knows he made a bad call and then he does a makeup call. That was a makeup call because you're not going to convince me that he wasn't holding that net up all the way to the finish.
Right.
And that was just, the whole thing was just ridiculous and crazy. And if you're... I just don't think Larry McReynolds came on his show and, you know, the TV group is exposed to a lot more up to the moment information than anybody else in the media, right? Because they've got a show to run and you have to have the runner's show so you know second, you know, to the second where everything's supposed to lay up. He said that they didn't have the rules put together, you know, by their last production meeting on yesterday.
Holy cow.
On Sunday, day of the race. They still didn't have, you know, they still didn't have their bases covered. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, how do you, I understand that they're trying to make it entertaining, but, you know, you have to, at some point you have got to have rules. You have to stick by the rules and you need to think about how point A is going to affect point B. And it's, I just, you know, it just baffles me sometimes how things of this nature get so out of whack. I mean, I'm having trouble talking about it because my brain's going a million miles a minute just out of sheer disgust over the lack of organization that you saw with that event yesterday.
I think they're trying to get too trick. I think what they need to do is just play it the way they do weekly. Right, I think that's the way to do it. Don't add all these whistles and bells because it's confusing to the fans as well. I was watching that race with some people yesterday, and they were totally lost on what was going on during the All-Star race because it's so non-typical that they didn't understand it.
Well, and you know, the teams didn't understand it, and the drivers didn't understand it. And for the last 2 weeks, and I know you were in Kansas, and you listened to all the, you know, the press conferences, the drivers didn't know what the procedures were for the All-Star race.
Mm-hmm.
We started asking them at Martinsville, hey, have you seen, you know, the rules for the All-Star race? No, we'll worry about it week up. Well, then week of comes along, they still don't know what the rules are for the All-Star race, right?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
sitting there in their driver's seat waiting for the crew chiefs to tell them what the rules are and to act accordingly. But when the crew chiefs, you know, aren't in lockstep as well, then it's just chaos. And right. I think that's what you saw yesterday. It was just sheer chaos.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I gotta pose this question to you because we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. I don't know if you were listening or not, but what in the world? You know, these tires are such an issue right now. But just think about this in the big picture thing, right? What would happen if a guy like Kyle Larson, he blew that right front tire, he pounded that wall? What if a guy of his stature gets injured because of one of those tires in one of these cars pounding the wall? And what would that do to the sport if a guy like Kyle Larson was to get injured? Well, just think about the consequences of that if somebody like Kyle Larson was to get injured because of one of those tires. What do you think would happen in our world of motorsports if that happened?
I defended Goodyear at Kansas because, honestly, I think it's a situation where we're really dealing with camber and we're dealing with air pressure and
manipulation of the tire. Manipulation of the tire is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't have to tell you because you're a racer. You know that racers take everything to the, you know, to the edge of danger to get an advantage. They're going to do that every time. But on the other side of that, I don't think that this tire is where it needs to be. So I think it's a perfect storm of teams manipulating the tire, you know, to the point of it's not being safe and Goodyear not producing a tire that's holding up. You know, you've got both sides of the aisle not holding up their part of the equation, and it's a recipe for disaster. We saw it with Larson. We saw it with Kyle Busch. You know, and without the inner liners, when these tires blow, they blow. You know, we've seen it 2 weeks now, and in a 600-mile race at Charlotte, you're going to see it again unless something happens to these tires. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that, we all know that there is a tire shortage in racing right now.
Right.
You probably will not get anybody at Goodyear to talk about it, but you guys have been up and down the pike, you know, on the Hoosier side of this deal, and you know that it's an issue. And so it's really rough. It's rough. And, I'm telling you, it just feels like a Monday, doesn't it?
It does, right? I've got a little bit of a hangover today.
Well, and you know Andrew Felker's feeling like a Monday, too, because he's stranded in Asheville, North Carolina right now, waiting for his motorhome to get fixed so he can get to Millbridge. And I guess the only thing you can say, hey, it rained, so at least you got an extra day to figure out your problems. But, you know, if you saw Felker's tweet, he's asking for somebody with a truck headed to Millbridge to help him out.
Yeah. So, did you watch any of the Tony Holman Classic? Robert Blue picked up the win there. He is the fourth driver to win that thing three times. Did you know that?
I did not know that, and, mm-hmm. and that's awesome. I saw nothing yesterday because we had we were coming back from St. Louis, and we were watching golf and the All-Star race until we could actually get back to the house. So
I see.
It was a full day of fun, and we left our backup TV in St. Louis, so we don't have a dirt racing TV right now. We're going to have to pull up something else.
Did you know that Kirk went to Tulsa last Thursday?
I did. Yeah. I was like, my gosh, he's knocking things off that bucket list. He was sending me texts about it, and I got texts from him and texts from Todd asking me who I thought was going to win. And it was an interesting deal. But you talk about four seasons in 1 week of playing golf. That was kind of nuts there, wasn't it?
Well, and then Tiger Woods had to pull out because he just choked. What was that, on Saturday?
Well, no, I don't think, you know, his legs are never going to be the same after that accident.
That's true.
The fact that
he's lucky he's alive. He's lucky he's alive.
He is. Yeah. He is. And, you know, I think he got to the point yesterday or, you know, where fatigue set in and or Saturday and fatigue set in. And he knew that if he wanted to get ready for the U.S. Open, that he really had to start, you know, working on it and start the therapy now. And he wasn't going to be in contention this weekend. And his buddy, you know, JT won. And so all's right with the golf world,
yeah,
so to speak.
What do you got coming up on Racing Boys, Lee?
Column on the All-Star race.
Yeah. A lot to talk about.
Imagine
there.
That, right?
You might.
But no.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Finish what you were going to say.
No, all I was saying that, you know, I'm hoping that the storm blows out of here quick because I really do want to get to Millbridge. It's a star-studded cast of characters over there with the new Extreme Midget series, and I can't wait to see, you know, how everything turns out for that because a lot of great people there, a lot of big names, and I'm expecting it to be exciting.
Well, we'll be here watching. Right here in the old studio. This, you know, I've caught myself just locked in. Deidre doesn't even see me anymore. I don't even go upstairs anymore because I'm down here watching all these TVs, just watching these races right now.
You know, not quite the setup, dude.
Yeah. You know, Barry Braun said that the streaming industry is going to change here in the next year or two.
What's going to happen?
He didn't elaborate, but he did say that it's going to be changing here before you know it.
Do you know something we don't know?
Maybe. I don't know. I guess I'm not in the loop anymore.
You're on the ground floor of that. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're proud of our work that we did.
Just FYI, 4 minutes ago, there was a tornado warning for Rowan County, which is right where Millbridge is.
Oh, so. Boy.
Fingers crossed, boys and girls, because I'm sure there are a lot of trailers there right about now. And
yeah, keep our fingers crossed.
Yes, sir.
All right, Lee. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Saturday, okay?
It's always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it, Lee Spencer joining us. I want to remind everybody, you know, you've heard us talk about the tribute to Ascot Park that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It started, I think, what was it, May 1st? And it's going through October 1st, and they're going to have a lot of the race cars up there that raced at Ascot Park. They're going to have a lot of information about the drivers that race there as well. It's a great exhibit, folks. You need to get up there and check it out. They've got all kinds of stuff that you can buy in the store up front. They've got posters and T-shirts and whatnot. So go up there and check out the tribute to Ascot Park. That was in Gardena, California. And, again, that runs through October 1st. And if you're going to go to the Knoxville Nationals, I don't know if anybody knows this, but you can buy a seat on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum for $80, right? It's one of the best seats in the house. If it's cold outside, you're warm. It's a great view of watching the cars come through one and two and going down the back straightaway. It's my favorite place to watch the races, to be honest with you. I mean, you can go over there in the grandstands, and if it's cold out, you're going to freeze, right? Take your money, go over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, and purchase you an $80 ticket and hang out there as well. And I don't know if you know it, but they still got their 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a 410 race car. They've got a raffle going on right now for it, and that's the sprintcarraffle.com. So if you want to own a sprint car, all you need to do is go to sprintcarraffle.com and place your order and have a chance to win a 410 race car. Austin, we just want the 410, don't we?
I'll take the whole car.
You'll take the whole car.
Don't get mad at me for saying this, Bob, but I'll probably take that car and part it out.
And then go buy you another car.
And go buy, because I mean, I have relationships with certain part companies and chassis companies, so I'm kind of locked in to run their product. But No, I'll probably do that and have my own
take
deal.
Take all the parts off of it and put it on something else.
Yeah, or just, you know, maybe sell it outright to somebody. You never know.
You know, that's what, I think somebody did that last
year.
Yeah,
a non-racer sold it out to somebody. But, I mean, I've played the raffle for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now and haven't hit the jackpot yet.
I know.
But
it.
Hopefully one day we'll hit it.
But it's a great deal. And, again, if you want to try to have a chance to win that Triple X chassis, go to SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. And don't forget, if you're going to go to the Knoxville Nationals or the 360 Nationals, go over on the second floor, buy you a ticket over there. It's $80. Or if you want to just call them, you can give them a call at 641-842-6176. Again, that number is 641-842-6176 if you want to be a part of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Pretty good show today, Austin. What do you think? Not bad, huh?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect with, you know, bringing Barry Braun on. I just know of him owning just, you know, Race XR and what he's doing with Wilkesboro, but it was good to see, you know, what his vision is.
Yes, yeah.
His vision is of the track and his company in general. You get to kind of see what his thought process on how he does his business, and you know, it's really cool to see, you know, how people kind of work and how they function as a human being. But no, it's got a lot more respect for Barry and his hard work throughout the years, and I can't wait to see what Wilkesboro can bring for us.
I got to mention what Marie wrote down here. She said, "We have enough drama in our lives. Who wants to watch that's supposed to be professional sport? They don't have their act together. Why would anybody want to go to a NASCAR race?" Any thoughts there on that one, Austin?
Yeah, I mean,
I enjoy watching all forms of racing.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into this, but we'll run out of time. But I mean, NASCAR is just it's trying too hard to be something bigger than what it is. You know, you're racing, stick to it. We don't need to be a football or close to football or baseball or whatever you want to try and be. Just be a racing series and stick with it, and you'll do better for yourself.
You know, I like what Mark said here, too, as well. He said, heck, they were so far over TV time that they didn't even show any of the other interviews but Blaney because they had to get to soccer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a reality TV show. It's racing. It's
right.
Treated as that.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the broadcast today here on Mostly Motorsports. It's been a good show. We want to thank our guests, Lee Spencer and Barry Braun, for being on the show with us. Tomorrow, Robert Ballew will talk about his third Tony Holman Classic win at Terre Haute this last weekend. That paid $10,000, didn't it? I think that's what it paid, $10,000 to win. So we'll talk to Robert tomorrow. He's always he's kind of a regular guest on our show because, you know what, he never says no to Austin and I whenever we ask him to be on the show. So tomorrow, Robert Ballew will join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.